You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Manchester United Redcast with me, Chris Curley. And joining me this week as we go into the final stages of the season is my partner in crime, my Cagney to my Lacey for older viewers, my Chunks to my young filly for younger ones. Yes, it's Ben Paul is with us today. Hello, Ben.
Well, I quite like it if I was your rubble to your Sky, because I'm very much a big Paw Patrol fan these days.
I thought you were going to go Fred Flintstone to Barney Rubble.
No, you're getting too old. Our youngsters are starting at the age of five now. My kids, 2 and 4, that's not their names, that's their ages. They can, before they could talk, they can sing Glory, Glory, Man United, the Bruno song, and now the big on the Cavani song. So United are teaching my children at the moment. I'm not sure it's a lesson they want to be learning right now, though. It's not been a good week, has it?
I cancelled the membership for my nephews who are 8 and 4. That actually is their names. And eight doesn't really care about it. 4 doesn't know too much. So, it's going to save me about 40 quid this year, which is fine. Better not in the Glazers' pocket. And, of course, it's a big week because the fans are allowed back in the stadiums tomorrow for Fulham. So we are expecting some big green and gold protests, I think.
Do you know what I'm expecting? I'm expecting that when we walk back into the stadium, it will be everything will be pristine and state-of-the-art because, you know, we've had the best part of a year with an empty stadium. I'm sure the Glazers would have put money back into the infrastructure. You know, I'm sure with the 1.5 billion that they've taken from the club, I'm sure some of that has gone back to fixing the roof, making those toilets a little bit more sanitary.
I think the point is, right, if you were going to have a good chance to improve the stadium facilities, you'd have done it when no one was allowed in it, right?
Yeah, ever. I'm sure they would have done it. I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure it hasn't changed whatsoever. I know there were still leaks in the roof for the Liverpool and Leicester games last week when it was teaming down in Manchester.
I can't believe it.
Well, what were your impressions of Leicester and Liverpool? Did both those games really highlight our weaknesses?
Yeah, well, the Leicester game, you've got to give them a bit of latitude in some respects because we played what is essentially a reserve team. It does show our lack of strength in depth when they... I don't know. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt against Leicester. The thing that is most apparent is, A, we miss Harry, and it's a good thing for Maguire. You realise what a stalwart he is. But also, set pieces, for fuck's sake. 33% of our goals let in have been through set pieces. And Leicester and Liverpool, again, exposed. So for me, my learnings, set pieces. We missed Harry Maguire. Leicester, we did put in an unfamiliar team. Liverpool, knackered? I don't know why, because that team didn't play.
Well, let's stick on the set pieces for a minute because, you know, against Leicester, Ollie made the substitution and brought Rashford on. And, you know, one of the key rules you taught or you know from growing up, is that you don't make substitutions if you're defending corners because of the set piece plans of who's marking who you've laid out can be confusing when someone has just come on to the pitch. And Rashford lets Unku go and he buried their header. Against Liverpool, of course, Pogba once again proved what a liability he is in the box. Not only did he give away the free kick in the first place just before half time, he got on the wrong side of Firmino. And I think that was two issues from the game that occurred to me. One was Pogba again in terms of his defensive liability, because Fred and McTominay got a lot of criticism. But the truth is, Pogba should be playing in that centre too. And Ollie feels he can't trust him defensively to do it. And that seems to be the nub of that issue for me about what do you do with Paul Pogba. Despite all of his great ability, he's played well this last 6 months. But when it comes down to it, do you keep Paul Pogba? Can Paul Pogba play in the two? I don't think you can trust him defensively. By putting him out on the left, it compromises Rashford, as we've talked often about. And that was a real highlight for me, because going forward to the summer, we have to have someone who can control that midfield, both with and without the ball. And it needs one person to be able to do that job, not two. And that in both games felt like that's a problem for us.
Do you think if Pogba played with a Keno type, do you think he would excel? Do you think Keno could bring the best out of Pogba and sort of take his responsibility, defensive responsibilities there? And there's many players that we could name that can play in that Keno role. Rice, for example.
I mean, maybe, but I think that's the unknown. And also, you know, Pogba goes into his final year in his contract. So you're going to let him leave for free again? It's a factor. It's a fact. I'm unsure about what to do about it now. Recently, I know we need to improve that midfield for sure with someone. And then, you know, unless Pogba's going to sign a new contract, he's got to play in that too, because I think it compromises us up front too much. Compromises Marcus Rashford. Rashford was so much better in the second half against Liverpool when Fred went off. Pogba went back into the two, and Rashford was able to break through on the inside left.
I agree. It's not sustainable. You have to stick Rashford out on the left. And
also, we're talking about set pieces. And I think Dean Henderson's performance against Liverpool certainly has to come under some scrutiny for me.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about it as the game progressed. Did we miss De Gea that game? Was his judgment at fault? Do we miss the experience of De Gea? I'm not sure. Well,
I think in that Liverpool game, and we've seen it a couple of times this season, Henderson makes his own trouble. You know, he comes when he shouldn't. And, you know, you could argue on the corner, he came for the ball and didn't get a good clean enough punch to clear it, which resulted in Nat Phillips' cross shot and Firmino, Jota scoring rather. And then, of course, in the second half, he fumbled the shot.
Yeah.
And then, frankly, on the final goal with Salah in a one-on-one, he basically looks like my nephew, 8, who, when he's in goal, in terms of closing down the angle, 8 would have come out and made it much more difficult for Salah. And it's just those kind of things that made me go, oh, that was a worrying performance for me.
Yeah, well, if it is decision making, then it's you can do something about that. It comes with experience. It's whether he has, for me, the ability to become a top class goalkeeper, and I think he does. And that's why I would give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'll stick with Hendo. But yes, to concede 4 goals at home is not. Yeah, you just don't.
But Liverpool completely did a number on us in terms of, you know, they set traps and we fell into them. Their pressing was very good. We didn't take the ball well enough. They kind of blocked the outlet of Luke Shaw and stopped Luke Shaw getting the ball. And when he did get the ball, they cut down his angles because he's been a major outlet for us. And so, you know, yes, 2 games in 2 days and a lot of games in a very short period of time are a factor. But I think what this week highlighted, this past week rather, highlighted to us are possibly strength and depth issues. The need, the things we've known about the centre-half issue without Maguire, and that became quite stark. And the midfield, control of the midfield and how we do that going forward into the summer. They were all there for us to see, which, you know, United need to get back on track this week ahead of the Europa League final, I think.
Yeah, well, if you're looking at positives, it is pointing out how good Maguire actually is, because he's, you know, he comes in for a lot of stick. And we've always suspected Bailly being a little bit rash on the edge of the box. It's still, no matter how many times I see that penalty that wasn't a penalty, it's not clear-cut for me. But he is definitely hot-headed and capable of making those rash decisions. And that's a constant. And Bailly is not a young player anymore. He should, his knowledge and his tactical decision making should be better. So there are question marks over Bailly, even if he was fit for a season. We have all got our question marks over Lindelof, and obviously, you know, these are discussions we've had for a long time. So Maguire plus one other, Maguire now we know.
Bailly and Tuanzebe made me very nervous when they were on the ball against Leicester. It was like Leicester said, let them have it. And we'll pick him off. And similarly, you know, against Liverpool again, Bailly was nervy on the ball. And for me, that's never a penalty, by the way. I mean, it should never be a penalty. He kicked the ball first and kind of came through and caught him. That's not football if that's a penalty.
No matter how many times I see it, I can't see him kicking the ball. But yes, I get that. I totally understand.
He did get the ball. He got the ball. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Well, it looks like he—it was a feather,
He got more than that. And I had Nat Phillips in my fantasy league team, so I was quite happy to get the 2 points for the assist on the foul and the penalty. I also have Bailly and Shaw, and that has ruined my fantasy league season. That performance on on Thursday night.
Joking.
Oh, it's brutal. It's very, it deeply upset me.
You are the United of the league. You came within 30 points. But anyway, this is a different discussion.
Different discussion for a different podcast. But I'm telling you, it was that result was brutal for me. I took it badly.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, sorry to hear that, because you and I both know who's going to win this league, and it's not good. It's the equivalent of City winning. Actually, it's the equivalent of Liverpool winning your league.
It actually is the equivalent of Liverpool. Yeah, it's horrendous.
But this is the fallout, you see, from defeats against Leicester and Liverpool. I didn't mind the Leicester defeat as much as I could have, because it caused trouble for Liverpool. If only we'd fucking not lost to Liverpool. Because the 95th minute winner yesterday from Alisson, it already put a shocking day. I had a shocking day yesterday, a shocking weekend. But it put the icing on the cake for the most shockingest of weekends. And it's... Now they are within a decent chance of getting into Europe. I mean, you know how much we... Fucking hate that.
I know, but as a football fan, you've got to say the Alisson thing was amazing. I mean, it was amazing.
My hate for Liverpool trumps anything.
On a purely football thing, on a football basis, finally, a goalkeeper's finally gone up and scored one. You know, the amount of times you see goalkeepers going up and they get nowhere near it is hilarious.
Well, the only good thing about that is that I like Alisson, and he's had a lot of sorrow this year, so I'm pleased for him as an individual, but bloody hell.
Hey, before we go to the break, I just got a couple of listeners have written in.
What?
Yeah. I've got a couple of messages, a couple of questions, but you're going to have to... one was for Dan Riley, who was meant to be here, but he's not. Paul from Houston, you remember him. He said, Dan the Man Riley has a very attractive voice, like a young Danny Dyer with A-levels. But as a Cockney Red, is he secretly pleased by West Ham's season? As we all know, Cockney Reds support the Hammers.
Well, I can answer on behalf of Dan, because I've known him 20 years. He's not. He has no affiliation to West Ham. He used to be Danny Dyer's producer, so there's more than an affectation there. They spent years together traveling the world doing football factories, so I'm sure there's the rub... You know, They've rubbed off on each other.
It's an anger about Cockney Reds, and I think we're all one United and we shouldn't.
Do you know what? Dan and I watched the European Cup final while an Arsenal were in it, 10, 15 years ago plus. We sat in an Arsenal pub, in an Arsenal area, because that's where we worked, both absolutely cheering on. I think it was Barca. Absolutely.
Because that was part of my blagging period to get a ticket to the European Cup final. And representing the Los Angeles Times.
I remember.
My housemate's brother went as me and rang up and said, oh, somebody else is you. Because I told a few people by this point, but he'd had permission to be me. But I can't get in. They won't give me a ticket. I went, stay strong, be calm, and you'll get in. And he went back and he got his ticket and he watched it. And I think because they got beat, he didn't get me anything back. He never said thank you. So, Dave, you still owe me something for that.
I still owe you for putting me up in Sitges in 99.
You did. Let's not talk about Sitges. I didn't know what that place was when I made the booking. And we got another message. We've met him before on the podcast. Richard G, the breakdancer from Cheadle, says, Chris Curley, you really have a face for radio. I mean, I think he means voice. But would you like to pursue a presenting career full-time? I think you could have a future on TalkSport too, he said. And I was
Talk
like...
Sport. Is that TalkSport also? Or TalkSport, the channel too?
Well, I didn't even know there was a TalkSport too. Exactly. And there is.
I think you've got a chance on BBC 7, is basically what he's saying.
Well, I mean, like, he giveth with one hand and taketh with another. We don't do that. We do this for fun. We don't do it for money. Do we,
it's Cheadle. It's Cheadle. I'm Sale. You're Heaton Chapel, aren't you?
No, I'm still in the Manchester boundaries, technically.
Do you live near the McVitie's factory?
Yeah, it's on the border with Levenshulme, which is now very gentrified. And I read this weekend that the prices in Gorton are going up, and that makes me really worried about my social mobility status in the world of television. I can't suddenly claim, hold on a minute, I'm from where Shameless was set.
When I was growing up in Sale, all the players lived around me. I had Stuart Pearson around the corner, Alex Stepney, Paddy Crerum was next door but one. The chances of any United player living in Sale now...
Stockport, I worked at CNA in Stockport, and we had a couple of City players came in from time to time. One was Michel Vonk, the centre-half.
Remember
and I
him.
Sold him two suits from Avanti. It's true. It's true.
In the days of City players shopping in CNA.
Well, Paul from Houston and Richard G, the breakdancer, thanks for those messages. Keep them coming in. We've got one more podcast of the season left. We'll be back after these commercial messages to discuss the remaining games and the Europa League final.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
Welcome back to the Manchester United podcast with me, Chris Curley, for the second half with Ben Paul, looking at a big week ahead. And the climax, yes, a climax to the season. Ben, Fulham tomorrow night on the TV, 6 o'clock kickoff. Team news has come in that Martial and James have been back training, are in the squad, and they should be fit enough for the bench. Fulham already relegated, looking ahead to next season. It should be a comfortable victory, you would think, on paper. But I think the atmosphere in Old Trafford is going to be, well, interesting, because actually now the fans are allowed in for the first time in 10 days, since they weren't allowed in. How's that going to affect things, do you think, tomorrow?
Well, it's a good question, Chris Curley. I think it'd be great for players like Cavani and Bruno to although it's 10,000, to feel what it's like to get an Old Trafford crowd behind them, especially Cavani, because I don't think he's ever had a crowd behind him, has he? It's slippery at Old Trafford. It's really tricky. Two defeats in a row at Old Trafford. You'd imagine against the lower... But then we lost to Sheffield United this season. You know, it doesn't go that we're definitely going to win at home against one of the lesser clubs.
But looking ahead to the tomorrow with Europa League in mind, are you, which is just over just over a week away, are you playing tomorrow, apart from Maguire, obviously, but are you playing tomorrow the side you expect to be to start the final?
Do you know what? Ordinarily, it's a good question. Ordinarily, I would say rest the players, get them fresh, get them fresh. But because we've lost two games in a row, we need to get our momentum back. And players have got to compete for their place in the European Cup, you know, in the final team. So I'm thinking we need to start. We need to play the next game, or at least one of the next two games, with the game with the team that we're playing in the final. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, I think we need rhythm and momentum back in some form. I think there's a decision to make still over who partners Lindelof if Maguire doesn't make it. I think Bailly obviously should have a go first, but I would worry about that because Bailly went off in the last 5 minutes against Liverpool and he put McTominay back there. I think maybe we've got a slight injury or whatever it was. So there's a question mark there because I think Maguire is more doubtful than Ollie's letting on about him being.
I think he is too.
For me, I would start the team tomorrow night who I expect to start the final. And that would be, and the goalkeeper one's up for debate, but I'd go with Henderson. If I'm going to keep him, I'm going to go with Henderson. Wan-Bissaka, Bailly, Lindelof, Shaw. Then I'm putting Pogba in midfield with McTominay, with Bruno. And then on the left, I've got Rashford, Cavani up front, and I've got Greenwood on the right. Yeah. That's how I would start tomorrow, and that's how I would start the Europa League final.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. That's the strongest team that we've got. I don't think there's any... you could argue Fred instead of McTominay because he's got legs and he might do more tracking back to compensate for Pogba. But as far as the others go, no, that... When you look from Pogba going forward, you know, ignore McTominay. I love McTominay, but Pogba going forward, that is a world-class forward line. But it's just... It's what happens behind them is the scary bit.
I would add to it, obviously, next summer, and there's a lot of talk about the Sancho deal being back on the cards. I mean, Sancho...
Well, this is an interesting one, isn't it?
Well, Sancho, I think in England, weirdly, doesn't get the, like, excitement and praise that he should, because he is up there in terms of being a 20-21-year-old with incredible statistics. I mean, if you look at his last 20 appearances for Dortmund, he's had 19 starts, 13 goals and 13 assists. And that is just ridiculous. I mean, that is ridiculous.
And of course, he scored two and got an assist in the cup final.
He did against Leipzig last week. Also about him, he's a right winger, but people forget, and I've said this before, so I'll say it again. He can play left wing. He can play number 10. You know, you can rotate that front line between Rashford, Greenwood, Sancho, and Cavani really seamlessly. And so for me, it's like, yeah, get him, because I think we're going to get goals. And if you're going to keep Cavani, you believe Greenwood's a number nine. What are you going to do about Martial? That should get you through the season in the number nine position. And we'll see. But I think I think we'll go for Sancho. But in part of other transfers, I think it depends on what happens to De Gea and what happens to Pogba to decide what we're going to do about those other positions at centre-back and centre-midfield.
And it could also be what we're going to do about Martial. Because personally, and I think not alone, I think we should cash in on him now. We need to boost that pot because I'm slowly warming to the idea of Jadon Sancho. I think there's probably very little. You've got to play your strongest hand, and I don't think we're our strongest hand. I don't think we're in the running really for Haaland. I think if he's clever, he'll stay another season and go on his cheap.
I think now. Dortmund have qualified for the Champions League. They'll keep him. They'll want to keep him, and because his clause doesn't kick in till next year. But there's a lot of interesting things around Europe happening. Obviously, with Barcelona's management and whether they stick or twist with Koeman, what they do with Messi. You know, there's rumours flying around at the weekend, and I think it's probably just rumours that his agent is trying to get other clubs back interested in him. Going, we'll take a pay cut. What's going to happen with Zidane at Real Madrid? Lots of talk. Zidane will go to Juventus.
They're going to do a swap, aren't they?
With Pogba. You know, Raiola hinted at a Pogba Hazard swap at one point with Real Madrid. So there's a lot of things bubbling. It'd be interesting how much happens before the Euros. I don't think much, But I think United would be great to do a big bit of business in Sancho, which a deal you could get done before the Euros. I think that would be a that would be a good statement for next year. And I think, you know, the Glazers will obviously think that would be a way to appease the fans in terms of what could be a summer of discontent.
Yeah, I think Varane and Sancho and possibly even Declan Rice, it's all doable. And it would appease. And it's not out of, you know, it's not beyond the realms of capability as far as our budget goes.
Award time is coming up, and, you know, fans on the ManUnited.com website have been asked to vote for their player of the year and goal of the year. Ben, for you, what's let's start with goal of the year before we get into the player. What's been your goal of the season?
You're putting me on the spot here.
I am.
I mean, there's many options, many choices. If you were to put me on the spot, there's one that sticks out for me, and it's because we're playing against Fulham on Tuesday that this one is probably quite relevant. It's Pogba against Fulham at Craven Cottage. He took it. It was a beauty. He took it. I think he took it down from the sky on his right, smashed it in with his left from about 25 yards. It was a corker. I loved that one.
But for pure out-and-out skill, it was fantastic. One that, as a team goal, the Bruno breakaway away at Newcastle at the beginning of the season,
yeah,
one that sticks out, and you put it in the top corner. But we were kind of like, you know, comfortable in the game. My goal of the year goes to a man I'm in love with. it goes to a man.
Is he Uruguayan by any chance?
It's you know, give it to Eddie Cavani, because the goal against Tottenham, a diving header, is always brilliant. But the fact that the Bruno nutmeg, the quick, incisive cross with his left foot in swinging from Greenwood, and a diving header into the bottom corner against Spurs, when he'd had that goal disallowed in the first game, was a proper number nine goal. And I'd like to show him our love by giving Edison Cavani the goal of the year for that one.
I think it could be up there. I don't know. As a team goal, yes. Yes. There should have categories for individual skill and team goal.
You're over-formatting it now.
I think there's a format there.
Well, that's my choice. Player of the year. Who for you should be Man United's player of the year? Of course, Bruno won it last year, having only been there half the season.
Yeah,
who wins the Matt Busby player of the year for you?
Well, it's not rocket science that I think every single United player that I know would be debating between Shaw and Bruno. And I think you've got to edge it to Bruno, because he's peerless. But I don't know if you can, again, we can format it as such, but most improved player, you know, the kind of awards that you and I would have got at school, whenever we'd have got top of the class, it would have been the progress prize, the most improved player.
No, I won the major ones, so I don't know what you're talking about. I did. I won the Quilly. I won the Quilly Gotti Cup, best boy. The rest didn't mean anything to me.
Is Father Maguire got anything to do with that? Or whatever he was.
I'll talk about that for legal reasons.
But it's... Bruno is peerless. But Shaw, would you give it to... Could Shaw edge it for you?
You see, Shaw won it, didn't he, a couple of years ago? And he said himself, I won it the year everybody was rubbish. Despite being a former left-back, I can't have left-backs being player of the year. It's just kind of wrong. Although,
well, we had a goalkeeper player of the year 4 years in a row.
Well, yeah, but then that's what was going on. 2013, here's De Gea. 2013-14, 14-15, 15-16 and 17-18, De Gea won it. Who was the player of the year who broke that stint? Do you know? I can... Bit of a quiz going on.
In 2018?
No, in 2016-17, The streak of De Gea winning player of the year was broken, but by who?
Rashford?
Ander Herrera.
Oh, yes, of course it was.
I find that amazing. Here, I've got a long list. Right. Who won the player of the year in 2010-11?
Hang on a sec. Can I just...
No, don't cheat. Don't cheat. No, don't cheat.
Give me a top three. Give me an ABC.
No, I will tell him he's a striker.
Yeah.
How tell him a striker? No, I'm not going to give you any clues.
Rooney.
Javier Hernandez.
Oh, Chicharito. Right?
Here's, this was a great one. I didn't realise this, but in 1992-93, the year we won the title for the first time after 26 years, who won the Matt Busby Player of the Year?
Oh, come on. Give me some options.
You remember that team. Come on, that's your team.
What, 92-93?
I can see in your eyes, ladies and gentlemen, he's looking it up. He's looking it up.
Could it be in Paul Ince?
That's rubbish. You've ruined it. That was a good quiz item. Well, you could have guessed and played along, but no, you had to cheat.
I was just it's such a guess.
No, you had to cheat. Paul Ince. It was Paul Ince, right? Yeah, you ruined it. Absolutely ruined it. Absolutely.
I'm never going to get it.
I prepped that item. I prepped it. Well, this will be a bit of fun. Maybe if Dan was here.
You could have given me an A, B and a C for that, because nobody would have got Paul Ince.
Exactly. That's part of the fun of it. Why it was a quiz item. People, the three people who do listen to this, has been ruined for them. Absolutely ruined. So who is your player of the year then?
Well, it is Bruno, but I'm torn. But it is Bruno.
I think it has to be Bruno. Those statistics are complete nuts. I mean, he's broken the all-time record for midfield goal scorers that Lampard had. Has to be Bruno.
Ronaldo down as an attacker when he smashed all those? Because he's arguably a midfielder as well.
Well, all right, here's one for you without cheating. In what year did Cristiano Ronaldo win his first Player of the Year trophy? He's looking it up again. He's looking it up again. I can see in your eyes.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just looking at
the mouse click. We can all hear the mouse click.
That's my wife. She's sharing the office. Can you stop clicking the mouse, please?
If she is, she's under the desk. It was 2003-04, dear listener.
Was it?
Yeah, that was his first year he won Player of the Year, and he went on to win it, 2006-07-08, and did he win it 2009? Oh, I didn't screenshot 2009.
Interestingly enough, who won it in 2004-2005?
2004-05.
If you're thinking that left back shouldn't really
I know this. It was Gabriel Heinze.
Yeah,
I know this because I did the quiz, Ben. I did the quiz.
Sometimes you think you've got the best best player in that position for the next 10 years, and then suddenly another player comes the following season and eclipses him, and then
he did his cruciate. Didn't he? I'm not sure if it was before or after. I think it was before his cruciate, because in September, the following season against Villarreal, funnily enough, Heinze did his cruciate.
And Jesus, that kind of your memory is unbelievable.
Let's look ahead. We're not going to have another podcast now before the Europa League final. So predictions, Fulham and Wolves this week, Villarreal a week on Wednesday. Go for it.
Okay. I'm thinking we're going to beat Fulham and it's going to be 3-0. And we're going to cement second place. And then against Wolves, I think if we beat them convincingly, we'll put out a skeleton team against Wolves, because that's a game we need to rest them. So, we won't push it. It'll be a draw.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me on Sunday against Wolves that we play a similar team that played Leicester, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think Wolves, though, are terrible. They were awful yesterday against Spurs. I mean, I wouldn't be watching that one. I mean, it'll be rubbish, because obviously bigger prize on the line with Villarreal. The Spanish FA have just announced this morning that Villarreal are allowed to play their game 24 hours earlier, and they're playing Real Madrid, and they're obviously going for their title against Atletico next weekend. So Villarreal have more time ahead of the final to prepare in Gdansk. I hope we start fast. They're a neat and tidy team, Villarreal. They've lost their fast right winger, Chukwueze, who's injured. Gerard Moreno is someone to look out for. And, of course, Pau Torres, who United have been linked with at centre-half, is an in-person scouting mission for us all.
Yes. I'm like thinking, what is there a question there?
The lead-in was about Pau Torres and centre.
Pau Torres. Are there any other centre-halves on your radar at the moment, Chris?
Because You used to be a producer.
This Sven Botman has caught my eye. Has he caught your eye?
Botman. Yeah. He has caught my eye, yeah. He's Fabrizio Romano posted that the United were interested in three centre halves. Koundé was one of Seville, Botman was another, and Pau Torres. And Botman of the three has physical prowess.
There's no way.
Botman does.
There's no way we could have a player called Botman. Otherwise, if we did, you have to bring Van Persie back.
No, Botman. I think he's 6'5", strong, left-footed, great in the air, good one-on-ones, a proper defender, has physical presence. He's an interesting one. And Lille apparently need money. They've just sold Sumare, their midfield player, to Leicester City, which I think will be...
Then we know that Sumare is probably the better player because Leicester's scouting is so...
That's true. We'll pay 70 million for him in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, exactly. But it would have to be Botman with Robin Van Persie. Or any other player
you're doing the Botman and Robin joke.
Yeah, I'm doing the Botman and Robin. Which, I led you in there. You missed it, so I had to bring it back.
Completely over the top of my head.
I had to bring it back.
I am grateful I missed that. And probably it leaves a perfect time to end this week's podcast on that bombshell. Ben, thanks again for talking to me about all things Man United. To the Man United fans, enjoy the last week of the season. We've got a big game in 10 days' time where we can finally get some silverware and Ollie's first trophy. Fingers crossed. And remember, come on, you Reds.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at unitedredcast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.